Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we celebrate Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. But first, let's pray. Merciful God, as we enter Holy Week, turn our hearts again to Jerusalem and to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stir up within us the gift of faith that we may not only praise Him with our lips, but may follow Him in the way of the cross. We ask this all in His name. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 1 to 11, and I'm reading from the NIV. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of His disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12. Just to there, and may God bless His word to us today and always. The first 7 verses in Mark are spent on the acquisition of the colt. A colt, perhaps you already know, is a young male donkey which is less than 4 years of age, and it had never been used in any kind of service as yet. What Mark emphasizes through this is that Jesus is the Lord of His own future by virtue of the fact that He demonstrated a supernatural ability regarding the location of the colt, along with the instructions that would result in the colt being released to the disciples. Which would mean that what was to follow was exactly in God's purposes. Every step Jesus took was in accordance with His Father's will, and in this way His future was certain. And so, depending on who you were, the whole event was either a wonderful and deeply inspiring spectacle or something which was deeply distressing for a number of reasons. Among the crowd were some who opposed Jesus, and possibly some for whom this incident was simply a curiosity. The majority of the crowd, however, were those who followed Jesus. Many were from outside Jerusalem, where a good number had just witnessed or heard about the raising from the dead of Lazarus. So for the majority, yes, this must be God's promised Messiah who would save God's people. But save them from what? Well, given the context, it seems clear that they understood salvation quite differently. The Messiah they envisioned was definitely someone who was sent by God. But they were expecting a political and nationalist leader, perhaps a violent social reformer, as many do today when they want change. This was exactly what Jesus had feared from the start, that all would misunderstand Him if He claimed to be God's Messiah, that He would be someone who would bring about their liberation from the Roman oppressor. Nevertheless, here He was, with purpose, fulfilling the word of the Lord spoken by the prophet Zechariah in this, His final leg of His journey to the cross. Matthew, in his account of this event in chapter 21, verse 5, quotes Zechariah 9, verse 9, which says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a beast of burden." Thus, God the Son came to His people as the Messiah King, with a message of the arrival of the reign of God, and in peace, or peaceably. For if a conquering king or military general entered a town or city on a donkey, they communicated peaceful intentions. Whether the majority present on that day understood the significance of his entry to Jerusalem on a donkey, we cannot be sure, but it seems unlikely. They were nevertheless looking for someone who would relieve their immediate and very real needs. This is very much like some folk today. They come before God crying, "Save me," but all they want is immediate relief from real problems, often without any strings attached. They want a savior, but they do not want a Lord, not someone who will try to tell them how to live once they have been saved. That said, here in Mark 11, Jesus, after coming to his own, repeatedly announcing the reign of God with demonstrations of his love and mercy through signs and wonders, enters Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace. His salvation would be from God and forever, not political and temporary. His salvation would be for a people who would receive him and become his very own. This is what John 1 verse 12 confirms, saying, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right or privilege to become children of God." God's intervention in the lives of a people, in our lives, is to gather for himself a people on earth who will be a God-glorifying sign to a lost and dying world, who will proclaim Christ's rule and reign in all the earth through their own lives, which would demonstrate his rule and reign. But there is another scene in the Bible which speaks of a kind of triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus. This can be found in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 12, where it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb," that is Jesus. "They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen.'" So we see first in Jerusalem, Jesus rode in peaceably on a colt before his people Israel. What is very interesting is that the way Jesus enters Jerusalem departs significantly from his previous patterns of movement in the Gospel of Mark. He had walked everywhere else in his ministry except for the times he crossed the lake in a boat. Now, the decision to complete this last stage of his journey to Jerusalem riding on an animal looks like some kind of claim to authority. The animal he chooses has never been ridden, which makes it suitable for a sacred purpose and worthy of a king. Moreover, the colt that is bound and must be untied also alludes to Genesis chapter 49 verse 10 to 11 and Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9, passages that were interpreted messianically. Jesus enters Jerusalem as Israel's Messiah. We read Zechariah 9 verse 9 earlier, but here is what Genesis 49 verse 10 to 11 says. "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs," that is, Messiah, "and the obedience of the nations is his," Messiah's. "He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes." With that, riding on a colt is a humble position to assume any way you look at it, the Creator riding on his creature. By contrast, in time to come, Jesus takes up a very different role when coming back to his creation, and In Revelation 19, verse 11 to 15, we read the following. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. In this scenario, in the last day, Jesus comes as a conquering king riding on a battle horse. And so, as we come to an end, in view of what we have read in Revelation, it is therefore natural and appropriate that Jesus stopped and wept over Jerusalem, something that is not recorded in Mark, but appears in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to 43, where Jesus said, If you only knew today what is needed for peace, but now you cannot see it. The time will come when your enemies will surround you with barricades, blockade you, and close in on you from every side. Jesus was not welcome in the city, but in heaven the throne room is filled with those who did recognize and welcome God's personal visit in their lives and allowed him to come into the city of their hearts. Which calls on us to reflect on the following question. Is Christ completely welcome in the city of your own heart? Will you be found standing among the great multitude before the throne of God above? And so may God help us as we think upon these things this Holy Week. Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have established your rule over the human heart, not by force, but by the servant example of Jesus Christ. Move us, we pray, by your Spirit, to join the joyful procession of those who confess Jesus Christ with their tongues and praise him with their lives. For we ask this in his name. Amen. And God bless you.